Dr. Uche, feelings can be a distraction. You taught us when we're taking communion. Do you want to take us through that and also maybe practically? Because I know somebody was feeling something, you know, a few hours ago, but tonight they feel good. All right, over to you, Dr. Uche.
Okay, so just to speak a bit about that particular point, when you're distracted by your emotions. So when we had the communion service, we gave the example of how Jesus Christ was not distracted by his emotions, you know, which, knowing that Jesus Christ was flesh and blood, just like us, and was basically felt all the emotions that we feel as human beings, he knew that in a few hours' time that he was going to be subjected to a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and also the spiritual separation from God as well. So he had all that to deal with. And then he also knew the person that was actually going to betray him, and that was Judas Iscariot. You know, and Judas was among the 12 that were seated, you know, with him, you know, at that Passover feast. You know, so the whole gamut of emotions, you know, running through his mind, you know, if we put ourselves in the shoes of Jesus at the time, you know, for many of us, we probably would have struggled to still fulfill, you know, everything that he was supposed to do in terms of offering up his flesh and his blood, you know, as a communion, you know, offering, and then basically still proceeding into his destiny, that's basically into the whole crucifixion and all that. So he had all those emotions running through, but he still was able to put his emotions aside through the help of the Holy Spirit and do what he needed to do. So back to your question, you know, for many of us, we can be distracted by our emotions. And I know I was the one you were referring to, because earlier today, you know, I told you that I didn't feel like I was in the right frame of mind, you know, to join you on this Bible study today. I just wanted to be behind the scenes and just, you know, soak up, you know, everything that was going to be discussed. But, you know, I think, you know, for Christians, you know, many times, you know, God requires us to put our emotions aside, because our emotions can sometimes stand in the way of what he wants to do. You know, God's will still be done regardless. You know, if you don't put yourself forward, God will use someone else. You know, God said that he will raise stones if necessary, you know, but you will then have lost out on, you know, the benefit really of being in God's will, you know. So that's just basically to answer your question. So for many of us that might be on this call, you know, it might be today, it might have been during the week, it might be tomorrow, it might be later in the year. You know, sometimes your emotions, and it could be anything, it could be anger, it could be fear, it could be disappointment, it could be frustration, it could be confusion. You could be at any stage in your life where one or two or more of your emotions are standing in the way of you doing. It could be simple things, like just reading your Bible or just taking some time out to maybe just meditate. It could be things like showing love to somebody. It could be something like just speaking kindly to someone, even though the person has, you know, been unkind to you. You know, so your emotion tells you to return or repay in kind, or to just keep your distance and just ignore the person completely. But the will of God, the Spirit of God tells you to do something different. So if you allow your emotions to come in the way, then by doing that, you've been distracted and you've missed out on what God wanted to do through you.
So in other words, our feelings can actually rob us of God's best for us.
Yes.
When we allow the feelings now to be the what's leading us. You know, from what you were saying, we just remember we're Christians. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It didn't say as many as are led by their feelings. And that just captures it, because at times the Spirit of God might be leading us in a certain way, but, oh, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. You know, I'm always careful with this statement when people say, I don't feel led. I don't feel led. No, you don't have to feel to be led. Just be led, follow, irrespective of how you feel. Just follow. You know, look at those 10 lepers, the story in the Bible. Jesus came to them, and he didn't come to them. Jesus was walking far, and from afar they were shouting, screaming. I think we see that in Luke chapter 10. And afar off, Jesus stopped and told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And the Bible records that as they went, they were healed. Now, think about it this way. When Jesus gave that word, the Bible is clear. They were not healed. So they didn't feel the healing. So if they said, no, Jesus, we don't feel we have been healed now. The leprosy is still here. So we are not going until we feel the healing. We feel the power of God. We feel the anointing. That's when we will start going. No, the Bible said, Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest. And the Bible said, as they went, they were healed. And I sense the Spirit of God saying this to someone. You've heard, go out of the ark. Go out of the ark. It's time to go out. But you are still sitting down. You're not moving. You're not doing the things God is asking you to do. Listen, until you move like those 10 lepers, you may not experience the power and the healing of God. Go out. Step out. Fear can be a distraction, because when we focus on the things that we fear, we actually become that fear. We experience it. We literally create it. You know, Job said, the things that I greatly feared has befallen me. So I banish every spirit of fear, because some people, Dr. Uche, are still not stepping out because of the coronavirus. Some people are not stepping out of the fear. No, 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 let me just stay here. But God is saying, go out. Go out. So fear can be a distraction. And what you fear, if you are not careful, is what you will keep experiencing. All right, so we're having comments now. Love Slido is the hashtag if you want to comment. And you get on the Slido.do app. And please, we want to see the things that can distract us from this Bible study tonight, question and answer. So I'm already seeing comments on the Slido.do. Someone said, thank you, everybody. Please, on the Slido.do, once you get there, get there. Our discussion again tonight and question and answer topic, distractions, busyness versus business, good versus God. All right. So the comment I see here, someone said food, notifications, shopping can be a distraction. I love all these practical answers we're getting here. Somebody said on Slido.do, so if the media can help us, I like this thing. Someone said, your nails can be a distraction. You know, you're hearing the word of God and you're checking out your manicure and the pedicure. All right? It can be a distraction. Thank you. Laundry. Yeah, you're trying to do laundry while you're following this Bible study. It can be a distraction. So if you're perhaps, maybe I'm operating word of knowledge now, Dr. Uche. You're doing your laundry right now. Can you stop and sit down like Mary? Leave the laundry and hear the word of God. Sit down, stop being a martha. Because that was where we kicked off from when we were looking at busyness versus business. And the story of, Mary and Martha was like our key scripture that we were looking at when Jesus came to their house. We see that story in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, right? Martha was busy trying to serve, so she was doing busyness. But Mary sat down at Jesus' feet, and she was doing kingdom business with Jesus. So, and then we saw what Jesus said to Martha. You are troubled. You're worried about many things. You know, when she came to complain, when Martha came to complain that Mary wasn't helping her to serve. No, you're worried about many things. You're distracted. So busy, when we are doing busyness, we end up in worry. We end up getting troubled. But when we're doing kingdom business with God, business with Jesus. He brings our weary souls. He brings our troubled souls. He brings them to rest. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, all you are busy, I will give you rest. Okay, so good versus God. Let's look at something in Acts chapter 6, which is our study tonight. Keep the questions coming, okay? So let's do a little bit delivery. Sorry, I said delivery. Do you know why I said delivery, Dr. Uche? Wow. I went to slide.do and I was distracted by reading it. Someone said Amazon delivery is a distraction.
Thank but you that's for how that. Distractions work, you know?
Exactly. So I was going to say something else and I looked at slide.do. And then I said delivery. All right, Acts chapter 6. Okay, let's study and keep your comments coming. Thank you, everybody. Social media can be a distraction. Thank you, Grandma Moji. Thank you, everybody. All right, let's go. Acts chapter 6. Interesting stuff here, Dr. Uche. The Bible says, now in those days, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying. Okay, Acts chapter 6 is where we're reading now. Thank you, media team. When the number of disciples was multiplying, interesting stuff, Dr. Uche, just listen, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Now, I need to highlight something here where it says, you know, the Hebrews versus the Hellenists, because some of these high-sounding words might distract us at times. You know, big grammar can be a distraction. Some even words in the Bible, we don't take time to find out what they mean, can be a distraction because in our minds, we give them our own interpretation, okay? So the number of disciples were multiplying, the Bible says, and there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now, let me just explain what the Hebrews, who the Hebrews were and the Hellenists, okay? Now, then in the Bible days, there were Jews, okay? These Jews went abroad, let's put it that way. And they were speaking Greek. They were Jews, but they were Greek speaking because they had gone abroad and returned to Israel. So they are known as Hellenists. So they are Greek speaking followers of Jesus who are Jews at the time. Okay. So they were complaining against the Hebrews. Who are the Hebrews? They were also Jews. But these were Jews who spoke Hebrew. You know, the language of the Hebrews then was Aramaic. Okay? So these are the Jews born in Israel and remained in Israel, grew up in Israel, spoke Aramaic, spoke the Hebrew tongue. And then we had the Jews who went abroad and just returned. So those spoke Greek. So now they were in the same church. They were growing in the same church. The church was growing, disciples were multiplying. Now we have two sets, the Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrew-speaking or the Aramaic-speaking Jews. So, and church was growing, sir. And, but then there was this argument. What was the argument about? They said the Hebrew-speaking were neglecting the widows who are not speaking Hebrew in the daily distribution. And then verse 2 says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, that brings us back to what you shared with us. There are times we may not know we are being distracted, especially when we have not defined where we're going, the purpose of what we're doing. Like this Bible study question and answer tonight, You know, we are meant to sit down, to learn, to get to know Jesus more, to get to know the Word of God, to fellowship at His feet, like Mary we learned about in Luke chapter, the story we saw in Luke chapter 10. So if we don't realize that this is the purpose of this Bible study, we'll be doing every other thing. And we will not sit down. We'll be doing laundry. We'll not sit down. Right? We'll be walking up and down that we've put the Bible study on speaker. And we're walking up and down the house. Yeah, you know, I'm part of the fellowship. I'm hearing the word. No, you should sit down. Brethren, there's a place to sit down. You sit down to hear. There are things you will miss if you keep going up and down. That's why we have a designated time for this Bible study. When it's time, just prepare your heart to sit down, to learn something. Okay. So we have the church multiplying here. We have two sets of people in the church. Right? And that brings, you know, what someone said last week about culture could be a distraction. Okay? Tradition could be a distraction. And language barrier could be a distraction. And looking at this passage, the purpose of even the followers, the disciples gathering together is what we see in that verse 2. The 12 apostles said, excuse me, wait a minute, I'm just paraphrasing. Why are we fighting here? The purpose of our meeting is not this daily distribution. You know, today we call it welfare. We come together and we're looking after each other's welfare in the church. Oh, someone needs this, someone needs that, someone lacks this. All that is good. But that's not the purpose of our gathering. The purpose of our gathering is what the disciples said there, the apostles, the 12. It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and start serving tables. The purpose here is to hear the word. So we're not going to leave it and say, now, we're going to be serving tables and concentrating on the serving, the daily administration given to those who are in need amongst us. So the distraction we see here clearly was even looking after the welfare of the people. When welfare becomes a distraction, it brings us back to the similar thing we see in Mary and Martha. And Martha was looking after the welfare of Jesus and his company, the people who came to the house, and focused on that service and was now going into strife with her sister, Mary, who didn't join her to serve Jesus. Same thing here. So then, these are the things now from just this verse 1 and 2 that we can see that can become a distraction. So the second part of our discussion, people joining us again, the topic is distractions, busyness versus business. We've done justice to that last week, but we're just seeing the link. Good versus God. So business versus business, good versus God, right? We've seen all through the previous week how busyness can become a distraction. But today, let's see how good can actually even become a distraction. Dr. Uche, was it good for them to be given, you know, looking after the welfare of widows in their midst?
Yep, it was a good thing.
But then, looking at the good thing they were doing there was now affecting the God thing. What was the God thing? The apostles there said, we will not, if we look down that same Acts chapter 6 and we look at verse number 4, they said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That was the God thing they gathered for. So when we focus on those good, and we can focus on so much good and forget God, We live in a time now, Dr. Uche, where everybody's talking about, what's it called now? Charity. Oh, yeah, let's do charity. We've got to do charitable acts. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. They are good stuff. But Dr. Uche, charity will not get us to heaven. Doing charity, this might shock people. Scripture and verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, tells us, though I give my body to be burned, and I do not have love, I do not have God, because God is love. He says, it is. How does he put it exactly? Let me use the word 1 Corinthians chapter 13 puts it. That, you know, if I bestow my goods, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 3, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So people are carried away today doing charity. Oh, we must do charity. We must do this. They are all good. But when God is not in it, your good becomes evil. You remember the discussion we were having earlier today, without going in depth? There's a place, if we're not careful, that our good will now become evil spoken of. The Bible warns us of things like that. You're trying to do good, but your good now becomes evil because you're doing good without God. So I don't know if you want to say anything about Acts chapter 6. Everybody, we are studying, and we want your questions, and we want examples when our good is good, but it's not God. Slight examples, but we will see in the scriptures. So we can see the distraction, okay? And I don't know, if you want to say something there before I go on. Acts chapter 6.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch again on what you said about how sometimes our culture can become a distraction. You know, reading through this, it's not a very uncommon scenario, actually, in different organizations and in different, even churches, you know, where people that look different or sound different, you know, can begin to feel like they're not part of what's going on in that body. You know, so maybe it's actually a note of caution to ourselves. Because, I mean, depending on our spiritual experiences, you come to a church where maybe there's some people that are Caucasian, some people are African, some people are Black British, some people are Caribbean, you know, different people. And then people begin to form cliques. People begin to work, you know, in a cliquey form, you know, begin to form groups where they do their own thing and all that. All those things, like you rightly said, you know, I think in some Bible studies, past, they cause division, you know, division. Where there's multiple visions, you know, and those things can become a distraction, you know, they can become a weight, they can slow down the church, you know, rather than focusing, you know, on maybe ministry of the word and prayer, you're having to settle squabbles, you're having to settle strife here, this person is, you know, beefing this person and things like that. So, you know, if we are like that, because that's one of the reasons why we come for this Bible study, for the Holy Spirit to convict us, if it's something we do, if it's something we look forward to doing, because that's the reason why some people go to church. You know, they don't go to church to worship. They go to church because it's a social gathering. Yes, let me go and see the people that speak the same language that I do, the same people that dress the same way I dress and things like that. You are being distracted, you know, if you think that way. So people come to church and they can't wait for the service to end, you know, so that they can do their socializing. In fact, for them, that's the highlight. That's the epitome of their church experience, you know. So if that's us, then let's begin to repent. And the other thing to just add is, you know, what the disciples said about, you know, that, you know, so really, it's just to reiterate things you've already said. We need to be very clear about what our focus is, you know, at every point in time. Because if, for instance, the purpose of a group within the church is to actually serve tables, so that's their purpose. If they are doing other things, like maybe spending a lot of time praying, then by doing all that praying, they are now distracted because the purpose was for them to serve tables. So in this case, it was very clear the disciples knew that their purpose as given to them by Jesus Christ was the ministry of the word and prayer. And they knew that serving tables, while a very good thing at that point, was going to become a distraction to the God thing which they had been given to do. So in our lives, in our church, you know, in everything we do, let's always ask the Holy Spirit, what's my purpose? So that's actually what clarifies. That's what will help us clarify between doing a good thing and doing a God thing. It's what will make it very clear to us. Else, we can just keep going. You know, I think we had said this on a previous broadcast, that a distraction, usually for it to be effective, it usually has to be attractive. You know, it needs to usually be somehow close to the real thing. If it looks completely unattractive, then it's highly unlikely that it's going to distract us. You know, so the good thing many times will closely resemble the God thing. Serving table, distributing to the needy, distributing to widows. I mean, you can find scriptures to back it up and say that, yes, this is actually what we should be doing. But when you've defined your purpose as given to you by the Holy Spirit and it's very clear to you, then you're able to identify good things that are not exactly the God thing.
Yeah. And you know how subtle that can actually be when we just focus on good things. But you know, do you know we can actually be doing good things without a godly motive? Where you're actually doing that good because you want people to see you as a good person, not necessarily seeing you as a good Christian. What do I mean? The center, the ultimate aim of what you're doing is about you, not about God. Jesus helps us and qualifies it. Let your good works, let your light so shine before men, so that men will see the good works, but who takes the glory?
God.
Glorify your heavenly Father. So if you are doing it for your own self and grand, don't let me, okay. You said grammar too can be a big distraction. You know, you are doing it, the motive is for the glory of God, is for Jesus to shine in and through you. That is godly. But when the good is about you, good is about the thank yous, good is about the likes, good is about who broadcasts, who makes you known, not necessarily Jesus, because we're living in a very, 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 very deceptive time in the world, where the Bible says, Jesus said, even the very elect, even those of us who are meant to know God will be deceived. I see people now out there. I'm telling you, Dr. Uche, it's all out there and it's very subtle. You know, people are defining men of God now by how many charitable works they do. Mm-hmm. Do we even take time to find out what is the source of the power of the so-called charitable works they're doing? And you know, someone is using the power, evil power, acquiring wealth and blessing people, in quotes, looking after widows, looking after the hungry, looking after the poor. At the end of the day, who's taking the glory? And what is the source of the person's power? People can't be bothered. As long as, oh man, this is a man of God, this is what he's doing, we can see all the good he's doing. Excuse me, what's the source of his power? Good is not always necessarily God. But God is good when the good glorifies him, not man. God is good, and good becomes God when the good glorifies God, when it is God that is getting the glory of the good we do. So good in itself is not bad. And you know, talking about distractions are, at times can be a good thing. You know, like we learned the word that originally came to us in the retreat. You know, distractions is not necessarily even a sin, because you're doing good. But it is not right. It's not God. Okay? Comments. Some very funny comments. Janded Jews or Yankee Jews. Somebody's trying to be funny on slide or dope. Sports can be a distraction. Okay? Welfare was a good thing for the apostles, but not the God thing. welfare was the God thing for the deacons. Anyway, being yourself, I decided not to pretend anymore, trying to keep up with appearances. Okay? All right. Let's go on and look into... okay, are there comments on Facebook?
Yeah, I think
that's... These are some of the things my children said to be good and still cause distractions. Ifeh, the birthday girl. Come on. Thinking too much about the future. That's right. When you start worrying about the future, you get distracted. Lashes said, work. Oh, yeah. Busyness. That's what we're talking about. Busy, busy. Work, 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 work. You don't have time for yourself. You don't have time for family. And of course, you don't have time for God. Right? You don't have time to sit down like Mary to listen to the word. But you're busy doing work. You know, some people just work, 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 work when they should actually even be in a service, in a study, meditating. You just take work. No. The blessing of the Lord will be upon the work that glorifies him any day. Sheyi said playing game for too long. Thank you for all those contributions. Thank you very much. Okay. So, looking at this again, Dr. Uche, Acts chapter 6. Good versus God. Look at the good thing that was happening here. The number of disciples was multiplying. Church was growing. Dr. Uche. That was good. That is even God. God wants the church to grow. But when the church is growing and then strife is increasing, well, this is part of the teaching problems. You know, when you have a multicultural congregation, like you highlighted before, when people now are now projecting their culture above the kingdom. Oh, this is how we do it in our culture. This is how we do it in our culture. Look at it now. There was segregation. You know, I look at this. There's nothing new under heaven. And these are the things that play out even in church today, where you see people, you see here, they are all Jews. They are all Christians. But because some speak Greek, some speak Aramaic, there's a division. That is not the kingdom of God, people. Jesus is not divided. Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus separates sheep from goat. It's either you're following the shepherd. It's not about culture. It's not about tribe. It's not about tongue. It's not about your color. It's not about your tradition or culture. Don't exalt these things. Let's look at what the Bible says. No, in my culture, this is what we believe. Excuse me, Jesus said, your traditions, your culture, they make the word of God to have no effect. These are things that we should actually teach ourselves and bring to order. Church, let Jesus build his church the way he wants his church. So we see that massive distraction. Service becoming a good thing to serve, yes, but it becomes a distraction. A good thing to see to the widows, making sure they're not neglected, but then it can become a distraction. So what are these kind of things that can also become distractions? Okay. Somebody puts in the slide or do, thank you for this comment. If you help people and they begin to worship you, will God punish you? This is a child asking that question. Serious question. Mm. All right. Let's qualify something here. Like we said, motive. Okay? In the first place, you are helping people. And the natural human default mode is worship. Worship is just worth, you know, your relationship because of how you value something or someone or what someone does for you or something you have. If you see it so, if you highly value something, you see the worth, it's so high, you know, the way you relate with that thing is called worth-ship. Because of its worth, your relationship, it determines your relationship. So someone begins to do things to you, or you do things for people. They love it, they thank you for it, and then they value you for the help. But when they now put you above God, that's where you need to caution. you that they're worshiping, you need now to caution yourself and to caution the people who want to worship you. Practically speaking, Dr. Uche, I check my motive. Why am I doing things for people? Is it because I want something for them? Is it because I want to be popular? I check my motives. And when I do things and people are so grateful and you see so much, you know, tears and people are thanking, I always say this: to God be the glory. Let's give the glory to God. I am in a position to help you today because of God. Nothing else. So let's give God the glory. Let's not share in God's glory. So child, what you should do is you make sure, number one, your motive for helping people is right. Number two, give God the glory and tell the people, please don't worship me. Only worship God. I'm doing this to you in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. Let's give God the glory. But when you now knowingly know in your heart, you are doing it so that people will worship you, and you are not saying it or you are even verbalizing it, and they are worshiping you, you are not stopping them, then you are going to incur God's judgment. Case in point, Herod in the Bible, he spoke, made the wonderful oratory, speech. And they said, no, this is a god. Right there, the angel of God smote him. So let's check our motives and let's always learn to give God the glory. Okay? All right, on that day, many will say to me, someone commenting, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform miracles in your name? Jesus said, I would tell them to their faces, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, that's one scripture in Matthew chapter 7 that scares me, Dr. Uche. Because we can get carried away. Yes, I prophesied. Yes, I cast out demons. Yes, I performed miracles. But do I know Jesus? Does he know me? Am I doing these things with the right heart? Because let's be real. Demons recognize the name of Jesus. So I've learned this, that a man of God is performing miracles is not a sign that God approves of that man's lifestyle.
Yes.
Absolutely. By their fruit, you shall know them. Fruit is character. How you are living your life. A man of God casting out devils, prophesying and living in adultery, living in wickedness, God is not going to judge because they are casting out devils or they are performing miracles. God's going to judge the works of our hands. He's going to judge the heart of man. So it's the heart. It is our hearts. And that's where our relationship with God comes in, because it's a heart-to-heart relationship. Is our heart right with God? You see, these are the things we should look at. You know, good versus God. Another scripture, because of our time, I don't know if there are any comments. If you can check that out for us on Facebook, Dr. Uche, while I give us a scripture in Acts, and I think it's Acts chapter number, let me get the exact scripture, because what happened there was that, interestingly, there was something was taking place. The disciples, I think it was Paul, they were going, right, in Acts chapter 16. They were going to preach, you know. Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 16, we see this account in verse 6 to 10. Acts 16, verse 6 to 10. Good versus God. Okay? When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Stop there. How can the Holy Spirit stop them from preaching the word in Asia? That was a good thing. But it wasn't a God thing. So We want to do what God tells us to do without the Spirit of God. We will end up doing it in the flesh. You know, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, Paul was writing to the church in Galatia. He said, who has bewitched you? You've started in the Spirit. Now you want to end it in the flesh. He says, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Verse 1, verse 2. Let's go there. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the Spirit? And verse 3 now says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Look at it. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16 from verse 6. The Holy Spirit stopped them. Good to preach the word in Asia, but it wasn't God, because the Spirit of God was not leading them. Remember the scripture, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's make sure we are led by the Spirit. Because when we are led by the Spirit, we follow the Spirit, God gets the glory. When we are led by our flesh, by our own hidden motives, we, in a very subtle way, get the glory, but God doesn't get the glory. And that's what leads to people now worshiping men of God. And a man of God that knows people are worshiping them and don't stop them, well, they have got to contend with. Let's look at that same Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 7 again. This is very interesting. Good versus God. It was a good thing to go and preach. The Bible says after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Why did they want to go to Bithynia? To preach. It was good to go and preach. So I'm learning something, Dr. Uche. Always learn to check things with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to do this. Lead me. Are you the one leading me? I shared a story last week, and I was still recounting it with my wife, to my wife again today. Mm-hmm. How I went to teach in a church, teaching the choir about worship, everything God, the Spirit of God, revealed to me, deep revelations, deep stuff that had blessed me, that made me to realize the difference between singing and actually worshiping. Singing is not worshiping, people. You can have a good voice. Are you singing in the choir? Do you want to sing in the choir because you have a good voice? God is not seeking for singers. God is seeking for worshipers. So I was teaching in this church. I was spending weeks with them, going in every, Wednesday evening and teaching them deep stuff about worship. And I left this particular day. Something happened while we were, teaching them. And as I was going, I was so angry. Because of what happened, because of what somebody, one little boy, unruly young man said. And God said, I did not send you to go and teach that choir. Was it a good thing for me to go and teach them worship? Yes. Yes, 100% good. But was it God? No, God didn't send me. And that made me to start examining the motive of my heart. You see, Dr. Uche, we are always quick to want to teach. Oh, yeah, I just read the Bible. I got this revelation. My pastor, God spoke to me. I want to give me the platform. Some people don't say that. But by implication, there are some people who are very bold. You know, like a pastor was sharing with us. Said there was this man who was always giving to the church. Anything, project, he gives. Very wealthy man. He gave, you want to do this project? He gives. You want to buy this? He gives them the money. So one day he came to the pastor. He said, Pastor, by the grace of God, God has used us to bless this church. Okay, so next Sunday I want to preach. So maybe I can share with the people to teach them how to give. You know, thank God for some very bold pastors. I'm learning to be, harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent. I'm learning to be bold and to be confrontational. That's the heart God's given me, and I have to leave that heart. He said, he told him, excuse me. He said, yeah, you heard me. I want to preach. The man said to him, he said, okay, sorry, sir. Is it because you've been given now you want to take over the pulpit? No, no, no. I've been given. You can see the record. I want to preach. So next Sunday, I want to preach. He said, the man told him, excuse me. By the grace of God, we have records of everything you've been given. And if you want everything you have been given, we will give you back. Sorry, we can't give you the pulpit. You can't buy the gift of God with money. You can't buy us with money. Your money perish with you. You know, and that's what Paul had to tell that guy who saw them demonstrating the power of God and offered them money. Anyone I lay hands upon, let them be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give you, show me. So he gave them money. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be discerning. And know that the good we're doing, it's got to be God. And the good is not just us. We are led by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit did not permit them. So let's see what happened next. As we round up, begin to round up and just take comments now. The Bible now says, so passing by Mysia in verse 8, they came to Troas. And then what happened? In verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And then verse 10 says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, let me say something there, Dr. Uche. They saw a vision. Who gave them the vision? God. This scripture itself taught me many years ago, and I'm still learning and growing in it, that, you see, there is a difference between a vision and an ambition. And at times we may not know the difference. Some people are driven by ambition, not vision. They call it a vision, but it's actually an ambition. Okay, somebody's asking, what's the difference between an ambition and a vision? Simple. Listen, Dr. Uche, a vision is what God gives you. Okay? A scripture comes to mind in Habakkuk. I will stand upon my watch to see what God will say to me. That is a vision, to see what God shows you, what God gives you. Now, an ambition is what you want to do. So at times, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do this, and we just cloak it under vision. God has given me a vision to do this. How do you know the difference? Again, let the Holy Spirit search your heart. What is the motive? What is the end product of that so-called vision? Who gets the glory? God or you? And people are so ambitious, brother. Dr. Uche, people, I want to build the largest church building in Liverpool so that God will be glorified, so that many souls will come to the faith. Did God give you that vision, or that's your ambition? You see, these things are good, but they're not God. And you know the reality, Dr. Uche? Because we are so powerful as human beings, people will be so ambitious and they will fulfill that ambition. And they will still think it's God. One of the things we're learning, you know, there are things we're doing on this earth that God will try by fire, and they will not withstand God's fire because God is not in it. Matthew 7, I cast out devils. I perform miracles. In the name of Jesus, oh. But God will say, I never knew you. You're a work of iniquity. God forbid. I always cringe when I say cringe. I'm saying it in a deferential manner, with so much deference, fear in me that God, I'm not doing something you didn't send me to do. That at the end of the day, I will not hear, "Well done, faithful and good servant," because you've done what I asked you to do. May we not continue to be busy doing what God didn't send us. May we focus on God's business so that we will not be doing busyness rather than God's business, and doing good rather than God. Okay. Let's round up. Thank you for all the comments. Dr. Uche?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to say one or two things, and then we look at people's comments, and then we give it a good night tonight to everybody as we round up this month. Distractions. Again, people, distractions, business versus business, good versus God. All right. If you don't have you want to say something, and then we just quickly see people's comments.
I mean, just to add to what you've said, you know, I think sometimes as Christians, you know, when we have these kind of discussions and we use scriptures like, you know, people, the one that in Matthew where it says that people were casting out demons, you know, we said we casted out demons in your name. You know, sometimes when people hear this kind of things, they often think of pastors, ministers. After all, they're the ones that do deliverance, healing, miracles, those sort of things. But it's very important we put ourselves in the shoes of those people in that scripture, because it applies to every one of us. And as much as we have good intentions, especially at the beginning, I think it's very critical for us throughout our walk with God, throughout our time on earth, to keep examining ourselves, to keep examining our motives, so that it won't be a case of us having started right, having started in the will of God, and along the way having deviated and, you know, start doing our own thing. Because I feel like that's what happens a lot for many Christians, for many people in ministry, for many people, even in your career. You know, our walk with God is a daily thing. You know, the examples we just read in, I think, Acts 16, the general instruction to go and preach the word was there. So the general word to God, from God to us, may be there, it may be any kind of instruction. But along the way, you know, it was evolving, and the Holy Spirit was telling them that, yes, as much as I want you to preach the gospel, I don't want you to preach it in this particular place at this particular time. And later on, they saw the vision, like you said, and, you know, tell a man telling them to come to Macedonia. If they hadn't listened to the Holy Spirit initially, they probably wouldn't have seen the vision. Even if they had seen the vision by then, who knows, maybe they would have been far gone, you know, in whichever area, you know, they had decided to go to. That would have been much more difficult, if not impossible, for them to then turn around and go to Macedonia as God intended. So I think it's just a note of caution to us. It's just a reminder to us that as much as you start any project with God, make sure, always make sure you're continuing with God. You know, if you have, it's just, you know, we're talking about, you know, the how, the why, the where, the and the how. And we said the how is the Holy Spirit, and we can see it here, the Holy Spirit telling them exactly how and where he wants them to go. So it's just an encouragement to us to just keep seeking the face of the Holy Spirit, regardless of what you've heard in the past, so that it doesn't actually become a distraction.
Thank you very much for that, Dr. Uche. Right. Thank you, everybody, for your contribution. Again, what we're discussing, distractions, business versus business, good versus God. Okay, let's go on to Slido and close with the people's comments. So on Slido, someone said, studying the word solely to teach others versus studying the word to do and obey God. That is a very subtle one, Dr. Uche. Very subtle. I'm studying so that I can go and teach. I'm not studying to do. Studying, right, to go and teach sounds good. It's good. And, you know, those are those in the ministry, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, this is usually our downfall. People in ministry, where you are just studying because you want to go and teach others. There's a scripture in Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 that always guides me. The Bible said in Ezra chapter 7 verse 10, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to study it, and to do it. His motive for studying was to do. And then the Bible says, and then to teach.
Mm.
So, to me, I have no spiritual jurisdiction to teach what I have not practiced, to teach what I have not proven, to teach what has not worked for me. Because then I'm a hypocrite. I'm just sharing revelation and not necessarily experiential knowledge. I'm just sharing knowledge out of revelation. And knowledge puffs up. That's why you see some people, they what? Boy, that guy is a good teacher when he breaks down the word of God and all that. But then you see the life the person is living. Is it about him being a good teacher or him being a good doer? So Ezra's order to do before teaching. And then when you look at the book of Acts, the Bible said even Jesus, this is what Jesus said. The Bible said about Jesus, he said Jesus began to do before he began to teach.
Mm.
Amazing. You know, he began to do before teaching. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I don't know if the media team can quickly get that scripture up. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus was not studying to teach. He was studying to do. And then he began to preach. And then he began to heal. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do
and teach.
So thank you for that contribution. Another one, for the child, Herod was judged just because for the child. I don't know what this means. He says, Herod was judged, maybe from a child, the person meant. Herod was judged because he didn't give the glory to God. Paul and Barnabas healed someone, and they started worshiping them. They stopped it and gave glory to God. Thank you for that contribution. And then another person said, when an hungry person asks for help, God is telling someone they are blessed. God is
good. Good is telling someone they are blessed. God okay. is when you help them.
Okay. Faith without works is dead. Thank you very much for that contribution. When a hungry person asks for help, yeah, you're blessed. God bless you. It's good to say God bless you, but then it's God when you help them. Thank you for that wonderful contribution. Faith without works. We must put our faith to work. Like the Bible says, we should not love in word only, but in our actions. Okay. And then another one says, okay, just the story of Simon the sorcerer, Peter and John. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for those wonderful contributions tonight. And thank you for everyone who have joined this. So we bring tonight to a close. Let's learn one thing. Let's not get so busy doing busyness and not doing kingdom business. We should do things the way God said we should do. And let's not be carried away with good. And the good, God is not involved in it. On that note, I want to thank Dr. Uche, who's been with us throughout this August, right from every Thursday. Dr. Uche, thank you for the depths of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of some things you've brought out. It's been interesting that we got to this point together without letting our feelings come into the way. Final word from you, sir, before we hand over to the media team.
Thank you, Pastor, as well for the opportunity. I think, you know, I myself have been blessed, you know, through all the studies we've had. Many times it's often as if I'm actually talking to myself, especially when I go back to actually watch or listen to these broadcasts. I think, you know, sometimes we shouldn't get bogged down because we don't want to get too academic to the point where you're now asking or you're living in a lot of anxiety. Am I being busy or am I doing the good thing? Am I doing the God thing? You know, that's not the essence of this. You know, if I could even say anything in terms of conclusion, is to just yield our hearts to the Holy Spirit, so that when you're being distracted for whatever reason, you know, even if it's something we haven't discussed in all these broadcasts, when you're being distracted, when your heart is being distracted, that the Holy Spirit can draw you, can draw your attention. So if you can just make it a daily prayer that, Holy Spirit, let me be sensitive all the time so that I know when you're speaking to me, when I'm being distracted and I'm able to hear you and, you know, realign with your will. And I think that would be a very good way to go.
Amen. Thank you once again, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Uche. Thank you, everyone. I pray that we will just align our hearts as we've been praying. We don't want God to clean our hearts, renew our hearts. We want God to give us and create in us his own heart, a heart that is after God's heart, a heart willing to do the will of God. We can never go wrong with the heart God gives us, and God pours his Spirit in, and we learn to follow the Spirit. That way, we will stop being busy, but we'll be doing kingdom business. We'll stop pursuing good. We'll start doing what is God. God bless you, everyone. And from Dr. Uche and myself, thank you for joining us on this journey. From next week, Thursday, we are going to go into September. Another interesting word God has given us. We'll examine all through September. You wait. Join us same time. God bless you. Over to the media team.